Amen. I want to preach a sermon this morning I've entitled Hope in God. You and I, we live in a pretty hopeless world. You only have to switch on your TV or look at your mobile phone and it's all doom and gloom, isn't it? We see moral decay, we see wars, we see economic woes and misery and poverty. And you only ever get a constant stream and barrage of bad news, don't you, from the media. You never see too much good news on TV, do you? Because good news doesn't really sell, does it? Only bad news sells. And if you allow your mind and your heart to just listen to all what is presented to you by the media, you can very quickly become quite despairing, depressed, and a feeling of hopelessness, as well as anxious and possibly fearful. And for those that are unsaved, there's not that much to look forward to in this life, really. You know, you may get temporary pleasures, temporary relief. You might be looking forward to your annual holiday or buying a new car or buying a new house or getting married or enjoying your hobbies or sports and all of these things that people do. But they don't offer any secure hope for the future. Not a hope that endures, anyway. With the way that this world's going, you know, the things that people used to put their faith and trust in and hope in don't really give the security that they once did. You can't any longer rely on a job for life. You can't rely on your pension being enough for when you come to retire. You can no longer look forward to security in old age or be guaranteed that you're going to be well treated when you get ill or go in for medical care. You know, there's not that much certainty in this life, is there? And people are looking for hope. And people put their hope in all kinds of things, in politics. And then we find in reality we get let down by the promises of hope that we get from politicians of all flavours who can promise you the moon on a stick. But when it comes to reality and the time when they're in office, quite often they fail to deliver. Or to coin a phrase, they do a U-turn on their promises. Far too often, when their ideology clashes with the hard walls of reality. And you'd realise, actually, none of them really have the answers for this life, nor does philosophy or science and all these things. What we really need is a real hope, don't we? A hope that does endure forever. And as Christians, we have that. Mm-hmm. We have a hope in Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, who is alive and gives us a living hope. It's not a shallow hope, it's an everlasting and eternal hope that endures forever. God has given you and I a future. In Jeremiah 29:11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see, this is what God's heart desire is towards his people, to give us a future and a hope. And in Christ, we've been given a certain hope. When he died and rose again, and on that cross when he said, "It is finished," that was everything that was required to give us hope. Because the price had been paid once and for all. His precious blood was shed so that we, you and I, can stand as righteous before God with boldness, with confidence, because we know that our Redeemer lives. We know that we have a God who saves us. And he's not only saved us, but he's also assured us of our future. He's given us the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Romans 15 and 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So there's two things here. God is the God of hope. That's how Paul describes him, the God of hope. And he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." When we put our faith in Christ, we can receive joy and peace. We should have joy and peace, even in the hard times of life, because we have true hope. And why does Paul say this? He says that we may abound in hope. Abound means overflow, doesn't it? God doesn't just give us a little bit of hope, but we should abound in hope. And how do we do that? It says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the power of God working in us that should give us hope and give us that peace and joy and give us that assurance of our salvation. He is the deposit, the guarantee of our adoptions as sons of God, the Holy Spirit. See, the gospel didn't just come in words alone, did it? It came in power as well. Power to change lives, power to save lives, power to deliver, power to transform, power to heal, power to forgive, power to liberate and free the prisoner. Because God is a God of hope. In Corinthians, it speaks about faith, hope and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abide faith, hope and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And then 1 Thessalonians 1:3 echoes this. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. And chapter 5 and 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. See, it's part of our spiritual armour. Along with faith and love as a breastplate, it says the helmet of hope of salvation. Love being the most important thing, as it tells us in Corinthians. Because without love, faith would just be dead, hollow, a sounding cymbal, as it puts it in Scripture. Faith and hope would be hollow. We need faith, hope and love. But what if you don't have hope, what happens? You lose heart. You despair. And it's easy as a Christian in this life to lose sight of God, to become despairing in heart, to lose hope. As the book of Hebrews puts it, to walk around with the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Hebrews says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. We need to remember the promises we've been given in Christ, to strengthen those things that remain, not to lose heart. Do not lose heart, it says, in doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you don't grow weary. See, God's given you and I true hope in Christ. It's not a shallow hope, it's a certain hope. You know, Christ is the fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Bible, isn't he? Yes. Everything in the Bible points to him. He said in the volume of the book, it is written of me. He came to give man hope. Luke 9:56 says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He was prophesied to come to redeem man from destruction, to heal the brokenhearted. It says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. You know, why did he endure that suffering on the cross? So that you and I might have hope, so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we might be declared righteous before God and filled with the life of God, that he might dwell in you and I. That's the hope we have, and it should encourage us. 1 Peter 1:3-9 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold which perishes, though it's tested by fire, might be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We've been blessed, haven't we, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Of course, to have hope, you need faith. You need faith to believe in that which is to come, to trust in God. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, we haven't received the promises yet necessarily, but through faith we hope for these things. We know they're coming because of our faith, because we've been assured by God that he's going to do this. We trust in God that he will fulfill his promises because he is faithful. He's been faithful to us and he will be faithful to us. His word is yea and amen. It can be trusted. With God, yes is yes and no is no. When God says he's going to save us, he means it. When he says he's never, never going to leave us or forsake us, he means it. He's not teasing us with that. He means it. It's a certain hope. We've been guaranteed it as we trust in God. It says in the scripture, if we endure till the end, we will be saved. Not we might be saved. Not we'll get through it by the skin of our teeth, if we're lucky. But we'll be saved if we endure till the end. And that's the key thing, isn't it, in all of this. This is a hope that has to be maintained. This faith that we have needs to be maintained until the end. Because things could get a lot worse out there. It's not going to get better till it gets worse. Until the Lord comes back, things are only going to get darker and darker. But you and I, we need to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Amen. The author and finisher of our salvation. The captain of our salvation. Because our hope is not in this world, is it? It's in him. We don't yet have all the promises. And you know, in this life, we might have to suffer a lot more before we receive the promises. But that's nothing new, is it? In Hebrews 11, it speaks about those that were sawn into. You know the scripture. They were tortured. They lived in caves and dens of the earth, in fear of their lives, but they also lived in hope. They hoped for a better country. They were pilgrims and sojourners passing through the wilderness of this world, hoping for a better country. You and I, we walk through the wilderness of this world, don't we? And it says they died having not received the promises. They didn't see the fulfillment in their life. You know, hope wouldn't be hope, would it, if we already had what we've been promised. And it says that in Romans chapter 8, 24 to 25. It says this, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. It's a bit like when you was a kid and you wanted something for Christmas and you were promised it by your mum and dad, providing, of course, you were a good boy. And all year you'd be hoping for that thing. You hadn't seen it yet, but you were hoping for it. And of course, when Christmas Day came and you ran downstairs, opened your presents, hopefully your hope wasn't disappointed. But you and I, we've been promised eternal life. We've been promised an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. We haven't put our foot on heaven's doorplate yet, but we hope for it because Jesus has promised it. We wait for it and we patiently wait for it. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And this is the thing, we need patience in this life. Because, you know, God will fulfill his promises in time, in his time. The test of our faith, if you like, is are we prepared to wait for it? Are we prepared to persevere till the end and be patient and endure? There's a scripture in Matthew which speaks about the master delaying his coming in Matthew 24, 45 to 51. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here's two servants. There's the wise and faithful servant who was patient, who waited in hope for his master's return. And in the meantime, God had given him responsibilities to attend to while he was away. He made him ruler, it says, over his household to give them food in due season. And he says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So here's the faithful servant doing what his master had given him responsibility for, hoping for his master's return, but remaining faithful in the meantime. And he was rewarded because he was faithful and his master made him ruler over all his goods. But the other servant, who was evil, said in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. You see, that servant didn't have patience, did he? He saw his master wasn't coming back quickly. He began to give in to his fleshly desires. He was no longer faithful. He began to beat his fellow servants, it says. He began to mistreat others. He began to eat and drink with the drunkards. He began to live the carnal life, no longer being faithful to his master. And it says the master would come to that servant on a day that he's not looking for him and at an hour that he's not aware of. And if you pretty much read verse 51, he's saying he's going to go to hell. He'll cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And he says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, we need to be faithful servants, don't we? We need to, hope should give us, what that hope should give us is endurance. Because we need to endure till the end. It's God's love that sustains us through these dark times. And it's the assurance of his love towards us daily that keeps us, isn't it? The hope of the future is what causes us to endure. So we mustn't lose heart. We mustn't lose patience. We're called to persevere, to be patient, to endure till the end. There's something, that's something that's part of that daily living for God, isn't it? Picking up your cross daily. Enduring hardship, it says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Persevering in trials, continuing till the end. Looking to God daily and being filled with his Spirit daily. That enables us to persevere, to continue. To have patience in various trials. Patience, it says, produces character in us, doesn't it? Perseverance produces character. As we endure the difficulties and the hardships of life, then we grow in faith, or we should grow in faith, and grow in hope. The good news this morning is that we have a certain hope. It's not some fairy tale we believed in or fable. It's the Word of God. We know that our Redeemer lives. We have tasted, we have seen that the Lord is good. We've experienced his power in our lives, his transformative power. We know God is real. We know that he saves. We know he sets men free, and we've seen souls saved. We know that there's real hope. But for that reason, we endure all things, because that motivates us, or it should do, to live godly. And it says that in 1 John 3:3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's that hope that gives us that motive to live a godly life. We may have to endure many hardships before the end. Just like those heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 who suffered so many things because they had hope. And they didn't see the promises in this life, but they endured till the end. And then they'll be rewarded. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hope is like an anchor. Now, you may or may not know, but I've recently been wanting to get into sailing. Eventually, I hope to sail on the open sea if I don't drown in the meantime. to get to maybe anchor up one day in Anchorage. But I want to know that if I go to bed at night on a boat, that I wake up in the morning where I left the boat, that it's still there, anchored firmly to the seabed, not drifting off in the ocean, lost at sea or shipwrecked. But in the same way, we have an anchor for our souls that will stop us from drifting off into all kinds of nonsense and getting lost. There's a lot of people whose souls aren't anchored properly, and their spiritual anchor gets dislodged, and they drift away into false doctrine and heresies, and often end up falling away from the Lord, their faith shipwrecked. But our hope needs to be anchored in Christ. He is our hope. And this hope that we have in him is the anchor for our soul, isn't it? And I love those words, firm and secure. You know, it reminds me of the other scripture about building your house upon the rock. It's solid, it's going nowhere. Nothing's going to move you if you're anchored in the truth. If you're firm, you're secure in God. When your anchor is rooted and embedded into the rock, which is Jesus Christ, you've got an assurance of your salvation. You know, the Christian life's not a tightrope walk this morning. And I don't believe in once saved, always saved. But I think it takes quite a lot of effort to lose your salvation, because God is so gracious to us. It says in the Bible that a righteous man can fall 7 times and the Lord will pick him up. You know, if we're saved this morning, we're not walking a spiritual tightrope. And as long as you keep your eyes looking up and you continue to follow God and obey him, you are assured of salvation. If you keep on walking, if you endure till the end. The only time we're at risk of losing our salvation is if we turn our back on God and we walk away. And that takes a willful choice, doesn't it? The good news this morning is that God is able to keep us from falling, to present us blameless before his presence. He is able to keep you from falling, and that should give you hope. It doesn't rely on us so much. Yes, we need to obey and submit. We need to follow. We need to cooperate. But it's his salvation, isn't it? Yes. He's the author and the finisher of our salvation. It's his power working in us. It's his redemption. We can't save ourselves. If it was down to us, we'd all be in hell this morning, I'm sure. We fail a million times a day to do what is the perfect will of God. Because you and I, believe it or not, this morning, are imperfect beings. We can have the right intentions, but that doesn't mean you're always getting it right perfectly, does it? That's why we need the grace of God daily. And God is able to keep us. He's able to save us. And he's able to perfect us. We have a certain hope. That's good news, isn't it? Psalm 62, 5-6 says this: "Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken." This really describes how this hope works for us. Firstly, it says, "My soul, find rest in God alone." You know, you can't find rest in anything else in this life. You know, we all like to, I'm sure, don't get me wrong, we like to rest and relax when we get an opportunity from our labours and our strivings and our work. But that's not the same as having rest in our soul, is it? Rest in our soul is when we have peace with God, isn't it? Rest in our soul is when we're assured of our future in God. That's what gives true rest, true peace, true assurance. And only God can give that. Nothing else and no one else can do that. My hope comes from him alone. That's where it comes from God. He's the source of our hope. Truly, he is our rock and our salvation. He's a firm foundation. He's solid. He's somebody who is not moved. His yes is yes. His no is no. He is our rock. He's that place of solidity, that place of security. And the hope that we have is in him. He is our salvation. And as the verse goes on to say, he is my fortress. I will not be shaken. You know, when I think of a fortress, it's like Fort Knox, isn't it? A fortress, it's meant to be a safe place, solid place, secure, can't be invaded by an enemy. When you're inside a fortress, you're kept safe. Nothing can attack you. You're in a place of refuge, a place of safety, a safe haven, and a fortress is solid. Well, God is our fortress. And he says, I will not be shaken. You can't be shaken. There's a lot of people in this world, or in the Christian world, who aren't firmly rooted in Christ. They've built their house upon the sand, and as it were, they're easily shaken. Tossed to and fro, it says, by every wind of doctrine. Many lives are often shipwrecked because they haven't had their anchor firmly in that bedrock that is Christ. That they're shipwrecked on the shores of false doctrine and teaching, and with every wind of doctrine or carnality. They've lost sight of God. But if we put our faith in Christ and we have certainty, we have assurance, we have guarantee of our salvation. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a guarantee, it says, doesn't it? As a deposit. If we're born of the Spirit this morning. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We have a firm foundation. Jesus Christ himself, it says, being the chief cornerstone. And the whole building is built on the chief cornerstone, isn't it? The rock of our salvation. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The foundation of Christ and the apostles and the prophets is the foundation of our salvation. And that gives us a certain hope in uncertain times. There's a shaking going on out there, isn't there? Nothing in our society can be taken for granted anymore. In fact, sometimes it feels like the whole of our Western civilization is crumbling under our feet. The institutions, the securities, the seeming never-endingness of Western civilization feels like it's crumbling and falling. Just like the Roman Empire fell, didn't it? And all other empires have come and gone. We truly are in the last days. We see the signs of the times. The birth pangs that Jesus warned about are happening. And the Bible says it's going to get more shaken. It says that the heavens will be shaken. God's going to lay waste the earth and ruin the face of the planet. I think we were reading that the other week. We live in shaky times. But for those who put their trust in God, we have a certain future. Yes. A faith and a hope that can't be shaken. That's founded upon a rock of our salvation. The rock of our salvation. And that's where our hope lies. You know, people put their hope in lots of misplaced things. Some put the hope in the Pope. Well, the Pope ain't going to save you this morning. They'll put the hope in the dead prophet Muhammad. Well, he's not going to save you. He's dead and buried. So is Buddha. Some put hope in politics. But political ideology fails, doesn't it? Whether it's communism, Nazism, liberalism, pluralism, democracy, dictatorship, none of these systems work because they haven't got God as a foundation. They certainly don't give you a hope for the future. That's for certain. Until man puts his trust in God, there is no hope. All men face the fear of death, don't they? But Jesus has come, has overcome death and hell this morning. This world's coming to an end, isn't it? We're in the end of the last days. As Alan was telling us last week, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Time is short. The return of Christ does draw near. We need to be those that remain faithful, to be that good and faithful servant who gives and serves and fulfills those responsibilities that God's entrusted to them. Who are patient through the sufferings and trials, who endure till the end. And if we remain faithful, we'll be found to be a good and faithful servant on that day. Jesus will say to us, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, and our reward will be in heaven. We will have treasure in heaven, not the treasures of this life, as some try to teach, which are passing away. You can't put your hope this morning in gold and silver. You can't put your hope in your health. And even in fitness, you can be as fit as a fiddle, but you can drop dead tomorrow. You can be as unhealthy as anything and still live to a ripe old age. There's no guarantees. Now, don't misquote me this morning. I'm not saying being unhealthy is a good thing. We're called to look after the bodies God's given to us. Some of us, many, me included, sometimes fail at that. But it tells us in Scripture, doesn't it, that a little exercise does us some good. So maybe there's something in that. But godliness, it tells us, is of greater value. You know, our focus in this life needs to be serving God. Our faith needs to be in Christ. We need to be pursuing godliness because that's the will of God for our lives. Sanctification, purity, righteousness, integrity, godliness. That's God's will. What's God's will? Doing what's right in the sight of God. That's God's will. Living a godly life. Drawing near to God daily. Being devoted to Christ. That's the will of God. Trusting in Christ with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And knowing that the scripture promises that he that endures till the end will be saved. We have a certain hope. And we need to continue to trust God, call upon him and rely upon him. Even when all hell is breaking loose in the world out there and around us. Or even in our daily lives. It's not even so much in the world out there. Even in our daily life, all hell can break loose sometimes, can't it? Trials come our way. Things go wrong. Pressures of life. Our natural inclination is to fret and to worry and to have anxiety. If only we'd have faith in God, eh? I saw a guy the other week with a t-shirt on and it said, faith, not fear. And there's some truth in that, isn't there? We need to have faith in God, not give in to fear and anxiety and worry. Put our trust in God, have faith in Christ because he's faithful. You know, we don't have faith in faith this morning. We have faith in Jesus Christ because he's faithful. He doesn't let us down. His promises are yes and amen. His word doesn't pass away. It says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word endures forever, doesn't it? His word is what keeps us secure as we put our hope in him. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we need that, don't we, in a dark world? We've got it, haven't we, this morning in Christ. He is the word. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And just reminding us again, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Let's not forget the benefits of knowing God. He only has our good in our heart, doesn't he? It says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. His desire is to do good to us, believe it or not, this morning. God delights in giving good gifts to his children. He's gone to prepare a place for us, he tells us in Scripture. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to fret. We don't need to be anxious. Be anxious in nothing, it says, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. We can have peace daily, can't we? Have you got peace? Or are you fretting? Are you anxious? Are you worried? Or maybe you've just lost heart. But it says in the Bible, if we don't lose heart, we will reap if we don't grow weary. And that's the problem in losing heart, isn't it? Here's the real problem when we lose hope, is we grow weary. And when we're weary, we're susceptible to temptation. We're at our most vulnerable point when we're weary. Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. If we keep our eyes on God and we keep our faith steadfast and our hope secure, helmet of hope, then we won't lose heart. Whatever life throws at us, we know God is in control. He will complete the work he's begun in us. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us to himself, isn't he? So let's rejoice this morning, amen, that the hope we've got in Christ. Let's pray. Amen.